Mm-hmm. All right. I want to welcome you this morning. Just thankful to the Lord for His mercies and His blessings for another day. I had a number of thoughts on my mind as I thought about the message this morning. And I kind of put a number of thoughts together, so I hope that this message doesn't appear disjointed or running off on different rabbit trails or something like that. But I was thinking about this whole thing of our theme of working together, God's people working together, and I had to think, what is it that makes the difference of people working together or not? I read an interesting little book this week about church members, church membership, and a person was challenging each of us to make a pledge in six different areas in regard to church membership and working together. And as I was thinking about these things, I thought, you know what? Really, everything about our Christian life and experience is a hard issue, right? It doesn't boil down to what we do necessarily. Because we can do things without being something. Talked about this a while back. But we will not be something without doing something. James says that. If we really have faith, it's going to work. It's going to do something. But I can give clothes and food to someone and not have faith, can I? So what we do as God's people is a heart issue. Now, That's easy to say if there's something we're trying to get away from sometimes. But when we really look at this whole thing of working together being a heart issue, as I looked at this, it spoke to my heart. It challenged me what God has to say about this. So let's just ask ourselves, how do I see my co-workers? One of the things that happens in the workplace is there's a lot of trash talk, a lot of criticism. Those of you that work in the workplace know this. One of the first things that happens when somebody's not there or not present is it's really easy to talk about how they're not holding up their end. Is that right, Steve? Yeah. Steve's been there. He knows where this all goes on. He deals with it. And what I think of my co-workers has a ton to do with how the work gets done, right? Is that true, Steve? What I think about my co-workers has everything to do with how the work gets done. If I can get a group of people that feel like a team, and they want to work together, just like these guys rowing the boat. If you've ever watched any kind of competition like this, a rowing competition, you watch that, and those guys' oars hit the water at the exact same part of a second, in the exact same position. They are working together. And it's amazing what they can do by working together like that. Well, that doesn't happen, and you know, those of you that follow sports, you know, when a sports team gets to fighting and quarreling with each other, their performance goes to pot. They lose. It just disappears. You get a team that loves each other, that works together, that enjoys being together, and a lot can get done. So what I think about my co-workers is important. So how do I see my co-workers? Do I look around and I say, boy, I'm glad I'm not you. I'm glad I'm not him. I'm glad I'm not her. That's disgusting. When are they going to grow up? When are they going to learn something? When are they going to be a real Christian? If that's my attitude, I've got a heart issue, and it affects working together. What does it take to work together? What do we have to work together? Do I have to agree with everything that you think for us to work, or do you have to agree with everything I think for us to work together? No. Well, so what does it take?
A common goal.
Okay, a common goal. We are going to work, just for instance, blood drive. Dana mentioned that this morning. It's coming up here after a while. We decide we're going to work together to have a blood drive. Does it matter what color your skin is? Does it matter what type of blood you have? Does it matter how much money you make? Does it matter? What matters when it comes to having a blood drive?
Huh?
Okay, you need people that are alive and got blood, right?
Willing to give blood.
And people that are willing to give their blood. So we have something that we've agreed to work together on. So what does it take when I think about working together, God's people working together, what does it take to work together? Now, what does working together tell me about me? Some of us work in situations where we work quite a lot by ourselves. Some of us work in situations where we're working with others continuously. And I'm going to guess that most of us that spend our time working with others, most of the time, come home frustrated sometimes. See some grins? What do we tell our family about what went on that day? Do we come home and we say, you know what? The Lord showed me today what a selfish heart I have. The Lord showed me today how unloving and how much I lack in compassion. No, what do we come home and we say? If I have to work with him for another month, I don't know what I'm going to do. But do you know what we've done? What have we just done when we said that? Have we told something about that person, really? Or what have we really done? We've told something about ourselves, haven't we? But, you know, we don't look at it that way, do we? What? You know, I do my part of the job the way it's supposed to be done. I don't know why he can't. Or she can't. We don't stop and think. What I do in the working together situation tells more about me. My attitudes, my thoughts, my thing, what's going on in my heart tells more about me than it does about anybody else, right? I can't see their heart. I can't see why they're doing, in love and respect, there's a story about a man that gets on a bus. And he's staring out the window and his kids are just acting out. And, you know, those of you that took the class remember this story. And the people on the bus are like, what's the matter with this guy? Why doesn't he take care of his kids? What's going on? And somebody approaches him and they find out that the guy has just left the hospital and his wife has just died. And, you know, his mind is, he's not even thinking about his kids at the moment. He's dealing with his issues. And the kids, you know, they're probably normally well-behaved kids, but, you know, they're trying to figure out how to handle all this. And then everybody looks at it totally differently. So we don't know what's going on in another person's life. Now, how did my thought pattern, and I apologize, I didn't check this black out before I put this up here on my computer. Some of this stuff looks fine. I realize it's a little hard to read, but how do my thought patterns affect our working together? John, you work with people a lot. What happens? You can tell, can't you? When a person comes in the morning and their thought patterns are not what they need to be. It shows up right away, right? And the rest of you, those of you that have responsible positions, people that work under you, you can tell you can't tell what's going on in a person's mind, but you can tell there's something happening with a person's thought patterns when they show up at work in the morning. You don't know what it is. You can tell they're having a bad day. So how do my thought patterns affect our working together? You know, if I show up this morning and I say, I'm just sick and tired of all you guys. I preach to you and you don't do anything about it and it's just disgusting. I'm done. We've got to be able to work together real good this afternoon, right? No. My thought patterns have affected our ability to work together, right? So that's related to my heart. Now, where did difficulties in working together come from? I'm putting a lot of background introduction here, getting us thinking about this, and then we want to look at Scripture about this. Where are difficulties? When we as a church, or you and your job, face difficulties working together, where do they come from? You know what? You know some people like this, not very many. Unfortunately, there's not too many of this kind. But there are some people, you've heard it said, if they can't work with that person, they can't work with anybody, right? And there's not many of those, are there, Bill? That's just, what is it about that person? Why are they able to work together? And why is the next person that comes along, you say, he can't get along with anybody? Hey, I mean, you can give him the whole deal and he's not going to be happy. What's the problem? What's going on? That's what I'm talking about. This whole thing of God's people working together is a heart issue. Okay? So let's just look at some scriptures here. What's the point of all this? What's the point of working together? What's the point of it being heart issues? Well, let's just look at some scripture. Jesus says this. He says that overflow tells the real story. Do you know what comes out from you? What comes out of your mouth? What's in your heart? Really? You ever hear anybody say, man, I don't know where that came from? They just got done saying something and it was, you know, ooh, pretty sharp, pretty bad, and like, ooh, where'd that come from? Jesus says, look at this. Out of the abundance of the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart. Whatever is a treasure, whatever is overflowing out of your heart is what comes out. Well, you stop and think about that a minute. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. It's coming out of the heart. So, maybe working together is more of a heart issue than what we really like to admit. Where's the junk come from? Where's all the junk come from? Jesus said, this is interesting. I was looking, I've been reading in the Gospels, and this kind of struck me. Jesus was talking with the Pharisees. The Pharisees said, your disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. We were watching them. And it goes on and comments, the writer comments there, that the Pharisees would not eat without washing their hands often. Why did they not eat without washing their hands often? Remember? Well, it was a little bit more than that. Because the law said wash your, you're supposed to wash before you participate in temple things and so on. But it said they washed their hands often before they would eat. What was the problem? How were you, Brendan? What were their problem?
The more they washed, the better they
were. Okay, they were afraid that somehow some sin germ would come off of what they touched and come in and get into them, right? They would be defiled, is the word that's used there. And Jesus says, don't you understand? Whatever enters in the mouth goes through the belly and out. It doesn't defile. It never defiles your heart. Those things don't defile your heart. He says, those things which come out of the mouth come from the heart. And those are what's the problem, the junk. That's where the thing, from down in the center of man. When he talks about the heart, he's not talking about our organ. He's talking about the center of a man. The center includes our mind, it includes our spirit, includes who we really are. It says, those things which proceed out of the mouth come out of the heart. Those defile the man. Out of the heart, evil thoughts. Oh, our thoughts. Now there's, he's telling us, yeah? Our thoughts affect how we work together. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands doesn't defile a man. Jesus said, look, let's talk about where the junk really comes from. It's not coming from everything around you. It's coming from inside you. One of the reasons God has us here and in the situation we're in and in all, one of the things we envision is getting away from our problems, isn't it? You know why God has us in all the problems He has us in? Because He wants us to wake up to who we really are. From within, out of the heart of man. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. We start pointing fingers all around us. Why we're having the troubles we're having. Why we've got the issues we do. Why? No. Jesus says, Within. When we wake up to that truth and we start dealing with it, then we're where God wants us. Then we're able to work together. So God is saying, look, don't start looking all around you and figuring out that, if you can do this washing often enough so you won't be defiled and all these kind of things, the junk comes from right in here. And every one of us had plenty to go around. We don't have to be busy trying to fix everybody else. We all have plenty of junk in our heart. Every one of us. None excluded. And that's the process that God is working. And that's one of the reasons why He puts us together. You know, why is it that you can get along fine with certain people and certain people you got a problem with? You know why? Because those certain people you have a problem with are pointing out junk in your heart. And you don't want to face it. Let's just get real about it. That's why we deal with it. Okay? Now, here's the real deal. Paul says, look, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink and all of these things. It's not some kind of thing that you just put down here and you get it all in a nice, neat order and you get it all figured out and it's here on the table and you take some of it and you leave some of it and whatever. No, the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. What do those have to do with working together as God's people? Everything. Everything. Think about it. So here's the real deal. God's saying, look, I've got you working together for a purpose, for a reason. Are people around us that don't receive the gospel, that don't know the gospel, are they impressed with all the stuff that we do? The rules that we keep or the things that... You know what impresses them? Peace. Joy. A lifestyle that's bringing glory to God. Right? That's what they take notice of. So we've got to pay attention. And here's what he said. We've got to get real about this. Paul says, for I say through the grace given unto me to everyone that is among you. This is for all of us. Nobody's exempt. To everyone that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Do you know there's only two attitudes that we can have when it comes to thinking about ourselves? You know what they are? What are they? If we think more highly than we ought to think, what's that called? Pride. If we think properly about ourselves, what's that called? Humility. Did you ever read in the Bible about someone thinking less of themselves than they should? You won't find it there. Because that's still pride. That's still pride. They're not really thinking less about themselves. They might put themselves down, but they're thinking too much about themselves. They think they deserve a better place than where they are. Whatever that, you know, you think this thing through a little bit. Paul says, look, God has dealt to every person gifts. He's dealt a measure of faith. He's dealt all these things to each one of us. Why did he do that? So I could look at Tom and say, wow, God really made a man out of him. He is just awesome. I'd love to be like Tom. Is that why God did it? He wants glory for himself, but there's another reason. Why? Exactly, to work together to build up each other. So each of us have what God has given to us for the purpose of working together. God didn't send us off to an island somewhere and say, here, you know, you take care of this island. No, he put us with people. And he expects us to work together with the people that he's put us with. You know something? If you can't work together with the people you're with now, you're not going to be able to work together with other people either. It's just not going to happen. It's a lie. It's one of the lies Satan comes and tells us. Look, if you just had better people to work with, everything would be different. No, 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 no. Within. From within. From inside the man. This is what Jesus said, not what Satan says. It's not about who we have to work with. It's about us. Whether we're willing to work where we're at. How much do you really know? If there, there's a saying that says, you know, those of you that act like you know everything bug the rest of us that really do. What's Paul saying? He said, if you think you know something, nobody knows anything like he really ought to know it. That kind of puts us all on one spot, doesn't it? Nobody knows anything like they really ought to know. You know what one of our biggest problems is working together? Because I know. I know. I know what you're thinking. I know why you did that. No. We don't know. We don't know anything like we ought to know. So what does that tell me about working together with you? It tells me I need to get you straightened out so you know things like you ought to know. No, it tells me that I need to get straightened out so I know things like I ought to know. And when I begin to know as I am known, as Paul says in another place, then I become a person that's able to work together with others for the glory of God. You see why this is all a heart issue? You see why working together is such a big heart issue? Why it's all about who I am, not about what I do? As such, I'm not trying to say what we do doesn't matter. Don't misunderstand me. We talked about this before. But what I am is really what needs to control what I do. Not just to put it out there. Okay. If we're going to work together to accomplish a common goal, we have got to appreciate diversity. 1 Corinthians, the gifts. He says, there's diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. How many of you here this morning think that somebody else here today has the exact same giftings that you do? You think there's anybody else here today that has the exact same giftings as you? Why? Why do you think that is? Or isn't? Why do you think there's nobody else here that has the exact same giftings as you? Exactly. If we're all the same, somebody isn't necessary. We pool our gifting. We pool what we have for the purpose of working together. Isn't that what it works like with a blood drive? We bring different types of blood so that people with different types of blood can be helped. And as we take our giftings, as we take what God has given to us, and we put it together with what God has given to others, we're able to work together. Different gifts, different administrations, different operations, but God uses them to bring glory to Himself. Does every church have to look like our church? Does it have to have the same order of service? Does it have to have the same doctrinal statement? Does it have to have everything just like we have? In order for them to be used of God?
Well, probably not, because I don't think there's any anywhere else that are exactly like ours.
Diversity is something we need to appreciate. And it's something that we need to learn to recognize as God at work. Not, we've got to be careful, because we tend to look at diversity as a problem. But the problem is our heart, how we do it. Okay? Now, how I look at others tells a lot about me. This is kind of interesting. Paul says, if any man think himself to be spiritual, a prophet. Kind of interesting. What do you think about yourself? If not too long ago I was listening to somebody that said, if I asked you to write down your three strengths and your three weaknesses on a little note card and hand them to me, I was interviewing you for some purpose, what would you do? Would you know what they are? Most of us would stop and analyze and we'd say, I wonder what he wants those for. I'm going to figure this out before I tell him what they are, because I'm not going to expose myself and get in trouble. What do we think about ourselves? This guy thought he was a prophet and spiritual. And Paul said, you know, that's fine, you can think that. But if you're going to think that, then you've also got to acknowledge that what I'm saying is the Word of God. You know, what's Paul saying? He's saying we've got to work together, right? It's not for me to stand up and say, I'm the prophet here, God spoke to me, and I don't care what anybody else heard from God or what anybody else thinks. That's not it. No. Paul's saying, look, if you think you're the one that has the word from God, realize that I've got a word from God too. Let's work together here. Let's see what God is doing, what God is working here in this situation. Here's another guy. They're Romans, or Galatians. It says, a man think himself to be something when he's nothing. Ran across a few of those, right? Thought he was really something, but he didn't amount to much. Well, look, he's kidding himself. What I'm thinking about myself affects how I work with others. What's it going to do? Those of you that employ people, that are over, not necessarily employed, but are over a group of people. If you've got a guy that shows up and he thinks he's really something, and he's nothing, what's that going to do to your group? The people that are trying to work together. It's going to make it tough, isn't it? It's going to really make it tough. You know what? Right there is the key to why we have so many problems working together. That's the key right there. Thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. God's given us gifts. God, and we need to be, we don't need to be ashamed of those. We don't need to hide them. What we are is what we are. But how does that affect how I relate with others and how I work with others? That's the question. That shows what our heart is.
Now, it's going to come out.
If you can fool some of the people some of the time, and you can fool some of the people all the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. What's inside is going to come out at some point. James says that. He says, if you go to get a drink from somewhere, and you take a big gulp, and it's salt water, what do you know? You know the source of that water is salt water, right? It doesn't. You don't get fresh water, and the source of it is fresh water and it tastes salty. Or you don't get a drink of salt water and the source of it is fresh. They're two that don't work together. They're in different parks. So he said, you know, you don't go to a fig tree and pull olives off of it. You know, you've got to work with something that is what it is. He says, okay, who's the wise man? Now, you think yourself to be something? Here's a heart test, a big heart test. You think you're something? Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Want to show hands? Look what he says. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. And then the contrast there is, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Don't sit there and tell yourself everything's fine when it's not. He's saying, look, what is going on in your heart? What's coming out is what's going on in your heart. Don't say it's not. You're not going to get anywhere. God knows what it is. He's trying desperately to help you to see what it is. And if you just say, no, it's not, no, it's not, no, it's not, you're not going to get anywhere. Not only that, you've got to make a problem working together. He says, don't lie against the truth. Don't kid yourself. Don't act like this isn't it. That wisdom, where we lie against the truth, where we don't face what's in our heart, that wisdom is not from God. It's earthly, sensual, devilish. If we're not facing the reality of who we are, we're not listening to the Holy Spirit. And he talks about it then. Where envying and strife is. Oh, working together. Wait a minute. Envy and strife. How can we work together if there's envy and strife? Well, mobile homes can be built with envy and strife, can't they? Campers can be built with envy and strife. Oh, there's some things can get done, but so much more could get done if the envy and the strife were gone, right? Where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. Now, what does God want from his people working together? Envy and strife? Confusion? No, he wants harmony. Just like in good music, there's discord and there's harmony. You get an excellent group of singers and you are musicians and playing music, and you get one person that's off key, and that just grates, it just stands out to a musical ear. And that's what he's talking about here. He says, the wisdom that's from above, if we're listening to the voice of God, if we're led by the Spirit of God, if we are dealing with our heart issues and that's affecting our working together, the wisdom that's from above is first pure. Then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. Does that describe you? Does that describe me? Or does the envy and strife describe what's going on with me working together with people? Full of mercy and good fruits. Full of it. If you're full of mercy and good fruits, what room is there for envy and strife? There isn't any left, is there? You got a glass full of water, there's not room for anything else unless you take some of the water out. Well, if we're full of mercy and good fruits, then that's going to be what comes out of our lives. Without partiality. Without hypocrisy. You know, we're not playing games. We're not looking at everybody else and seeing what's wrong with them. We're working on our own heart and allowing the Lord to show us our heart and help us to work together. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now, we have big words or true love. John, you read 1 John. John, he doesn't beat around the bush at all. He says, you say you don't have sin, you're a liar. You say you've never sinned, you're a liar. You say that this, and he goes through there and he says, you say this, you're a liar. You're kidding yourself. It's not happening. Here's what he says. If a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. Well, you say, well, I don't hate my brother. I can't stand him, but I don't hate him. I can't, there's no way we can enjoy working together, but I don't hate him. Oh, really? Is that how your relationship is with God? You get along fine with him as long as he doesn't step on your toes. No, he says, look, let's get real about this whole thing. We can talk all day long about how much love we have and how we can work together and everything else, but if it's not happening, it's not happening. If it's not happening, it's my heart. Okay? That's just the long and short of it, and that's what John's telling us. It's not about what anybody else has done. I'm sorry. What did Jesus do in his life? When he was hanging there on the cross, was it all about what the Pharisees had done? Was it all about what the scribes had done? Was it all about what the sinners had done? No. His Father forgave them. Why could he do that? Because he had the Father's heart. And the only way that we are going to be able to work together as the people of God for the glory of God is if we have the Father's heart. And that's what we just looked at. The wisdom that's from above, that comes from the Father, is full of mercy and good fruits. It's full of that. Well, you work with somebody that's full of mercy and good fruits, man, you're gonna be able to work together well. Oh, except I forgot about me. I could still have a problem, couldn't I? Because I have a problem, right? I think we need to stop and think about that. That whole thing of working together being a heart issue. You know, we can sit here and we can point fingers and we can blame and we can say whatever we want to say, or we can look at the Scripture and see what God's saying to us and we can say, yes, Lord, and we can have life change by the grace of God and the Spirit of God, and we can go on. One of the things that impressed me as a young person reading a number of books about the persecuted Christians was how they could show the love of God in the midst of their persecution. They could wash toilets, they could scrub floors that were just full of filth and do it with a smile. And the love of God on their heart for those that they were doing it for. How could they do that? Because they had met with God and had dealt with their heart issues and things were where they needed to be.
And they could work together with the most unworkable people, people that would never cooperate with them in any way if they could help it. The prophet asks this question. If you've run with the footmen and they've wearied you, what are you going to do when you have to run with horses? You know, if we can't work together as God's people with all the opportunities and all the blessings and all that we have, what are we going to do when things get tough? I think we do well to allow the Spirit of God to speak to each of our hearts. He's spoken to my heart as I looked into these scriptures and just reminded me, you know what? Let me work here. Let me work right here. If you let me work here, there is a lot that can get done. If you're determined to have me work there and there and there and there and there, rather than here, not much is going to get done. Let's stand together for prayer. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. I'm just going to ask you this morning if the Spirit spoke to you this morning and you recognize that there's some heart issues that you need to deal with, and you want to be serious about that and take them to the Lord, and you want me to pray for you, just slip up your hand. Lord, you've seen each hand, you've seen each heart, you know what our issues are. And Lord, you've spoken to a number of us this morning about those heart issues, and I pray, oh God, by your grace and by your Spirit, Lord, that you continue to work in each of these hearts, Lord, that your name could be lifted up. Father, we thank you for the things that you've laid out for us. You've made it really plain and clear to us that working together is a heart issue. And Lord, I confess that there have been times in my own life when I wasn't willing to face my own heart. And I pray that you help each of us that we would recognize the needs of our own heart, the junk that's there. And we come to you for cleansing. Come to you, Lord, that the envy and the strife might be gone, that the mercy and the good fruits might fill our hearts, O God. We might be peaceable and gentle, easy to be talked to, easy to hear your voice and to change as we need. Lord, we look to you this morning. We pray for the guys as they travel out there. Protect them, Lord, on the icy roads. And I pray, Lord, that as they work this week, that you protect them and bless them. Make them a blessing, Lord, as they work together. And help them, Lord, to just leave a real testimony of your grace as they work there. Help us each, Lord, as we go from this place, to consider how we can work together as your people to bring you glory. We bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen.